Technorama for July 27th, 2005. How's that one, guys?
This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic Margo vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. And the efficient lunar wing shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration. Retrocabulator.
And here we go!
Hello!
Welcome to Technorama!
All signs point to yes.
Coming up today, oh, I forgot to say, with me as always is my executive producer, Craig Stepp.
Hello there. Now get to work.
Yes, boss! Coming up in tonight's show, we've got how to get the most out of Gmail. We talk a little bit about the space shuttle, and Craig's going to take us through Confabulator.
It's confabulous.
It's confabulicious.
Rev Tim.
This is Rev Tim from the Rev Tim Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, hold your headphones tightly to your ears. Your MP3 treat is coming in the form of Chuck Tomasi from Chuck Chat.
I like that one. Thanks, Rev Tim. That was cool.
Thanks, Rev Tim.
We've got some news or something like that. First, I decided to move this towards the beginning of the show because we're going to tell you what we're not talking to you about.
Yeah, we're going to talk to you about what we're not talking to you about, so don't talk about it.
Let's talk about the app, not the purchase so much. Yahoo buys Confabulator. Or yep. How come Confabulator rhymes with Retro and Cabulator?
we'll start putting that in there. Pretty soon it'll be Yahoo and Fabulator. Yonfabulator. Nah, but Yahoo purchased Confabulator. If you don't know, it's the application that I'm actually going to talk about here in a little bit, that it runs on the Mac and in Windows, and it gives you nice little widgets on your desktop showing you sometimes useless and sometimes useful information.
So if you didn't already pick up that news from somewhere else, we're not going to tell you here. It's all over the press.
But stay tuned, and we're going to talk about the application.
That's right. We can't let Confabulator go. That's a cool app. And Apple is missing from Microsoft Earth.
I smell conspiracy.
What else is missing? Makes you wonder.
Oranges.
Area 51.
Yeah. Actually, I think Area 51 is blocked out or something now, like that.
I have to look.
Yeah. And hey, if you go check out the White House, which it's like this on both Google and Microsoft Earth, you see the top of the White House is, you see the outline of the building, of course, but you can't see the roof.
What's the point?
I guess so you can't figure a way in or something. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's get on with the strange stories.
Yep.
My strange story happened this afternoon, today. I got an email from me. No, it's true. You know, usually I see these things, I go, oh, virus, Trojan, something's weird, someone's spoofing. In fact, I even called out aloud to my coworkers, hey, who's spoofing me on the email? Because, you know, sometimes it's fun when you're writing an RFC 822 header to, you know, say, hey, this is from Barney the Dinosaur.
I just hope you didn't go, oh, it's an email for myself. I'll open my own attachment. I know me.
There was no attachment on it. I looked. So the funny part is it really was from me. I was debugging a machine earlier this month, and I used, I was at a command line, and I sent myself a message. And it got stuck. I never received this test message. It just had the subject, test. I'm going, okay, message from me, to me, subject test. But the date on it was like July 14th. I went, this is weird. Well, we rebooted a server today, which must have gotten its mail queue kind of sludged up, and all of a sudden this stuff was flushed out. I open it up, and the funniest part about it, the message of the body said, "Is this thing working?" It is now.
Yeah. Hey, I do have a tip for everybody testing email. And it took a long time for me to do. In the subject line, whenever you send it's in the email, put a date stamp.
That's or a time, good idea. Date,
or even just put the times. Because usually if I'm working on email for a day, I put like 10:30, 10:31. 30, that way you know. Because I've been times going, well, is that the test email? Is that the one I sent first or last? You know, so that's my little tip.
Now, what do you have about a virtual Earth?
Yes, I do want to make an apology. I know in our last episode, I was beating up on MSN's virtual Earth pretty bad, and it is starting to shape up. So I just wanted to say I'm sorry. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I still like Google Maps, I think, a little bit better because their API is very good for writing your own apps. However, I've got a couple of links that I'm going to put in the show notes. There's a link to the Google headquarters on both GMAP and MSN. And it's pretty big eye-opener. If you go look at the MSN one, how far you can zoom in. And you're like, the image is a lot higher resolution than GMAP one. That's a lot closer.
In certain areas, the Google map was a little lame. In other areas, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I have a feeling that with the nature of the satellite images, that you're going to get that on both sides because they're both from two different satellites, I assume.
Okay.
So, you're going to have some good stuff in one and some good stuff in the other. But I like the infrastructure that, Google Maps has put in place. But, they're still both in beta, so to speak. So.
Cool. We'll look forward to, I'm looking forward to updated images in both, actually. They're kind of aged at this point.
Yeah. Too bad it'd be cool if you could just put in the coordinates and have the satellite go where you want it at the moment. Now, that'd be awesome.
A little Java applet that lets you steer satellites? Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Like I'm spinning around.
And we talked about PayPal spoofing and phishing attacks a couple days ago and recommended if you see one of these that you send the message to spoof@paypal.com.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have a recommendation on top of that.
Yeah, I thought about this. And anytime you have spam and you're trying to tell your ISP or you're trying to tell whoever's filtering your email, it's always a good idea to view all the headers and forward that along with your email. Because when you forward an email, it strips all that out. It's basically a new email. There's really nothing to follow up on.
Actually, the best way that I found is if somebody has a suspect email, if they're using Outlook, compose a new message and attach the other one as the entire message. That way, the headers aren't rewritten or anything. You get it in the whole context.
Mm-hmm. Works out now, I know, well. Yeah, and that's probably the best way because I know Outlook's kind of funny about showing you the source. You have to jump through hoops like a circus poodle to get to it. But if you're using something like Thunderbird, you can just hit Control-U just like you do in Firefox, and there's the source you just cut and paste into a new email.
Now, have you used the Google personalized page?
Yeah, I do.
Google.com/IG?
Yeah, they got all kinds of new stuff on there now.
I haven't looked at that since its inception because I really don't use it that much.
I use my Gmail all the time by itself. So the personalized page was just something a little extra for me. It has a feed reader, and you can add bookmarks and stuff to it to kind of make it more of a portal for yourself.
It does.
Yeah, the bookmarks are kind of cool. The feed reader, I've got too many feeds for it to be really useful for me.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two feeds would be okay there, or something you want to keep tabs on. But as far as all the other information, they got more information, like I think some New York, not just New York Times, but they have other news sources, some more sports and stuff like that, CNN, and they can put you can put all those on there, and you can also add your own feeds and bookmarks. So,
and that shows up on the page, or does it feed it into Gmail?
No, that's on its own page.
Okay.
Yeah, on the IG page.
Got to look for that.
You're listening to the Technorama podcast, and this is Rob from Podcast 411 reminding you to listen different.
All right, we have listener feedback.
Yes, we do.
Craig was mentioning on, what is today, Wednesday? Sunday's Technorama, the last show. If you're listening to these in order, it was just moments ago that we were talking about the problems Craig had with his router and went out and bought a $10 one because Staples had them on sale. Well, Eric Larson gave us some feedback. So here we go.
Hey, Chuck, it's Eric Larson calling from ericast.com. Plug my podcast in there. And I actually have a bit of reassurance for Craig. Listening to the last Technorama, and he was mentioning problems with his router and getting really weak. And I just wanted to share, I had the same thing happen. I've got a Netgear MR814. It's the sign of a true geek that you know your router's model number by heart. And I came home one day, and my wife said the router wasn't working so well, and checked it out. And I would have been happier if it were just dead, but it wasn't dead. I had about 6 feet of range off of it, and that was it. I looked on a couple of websites, including a Netgear forum, and there were some other people with very similar posts from a similar date saying, yeah, that's it. You know, I've had the same thing happen, and I have no solution. And my firmware was all up to date. It was all good. So I did the standard troubleshooting thing. I just unplugged it and let it sit for a while and plugged it back in, and it started working. It's been working like a champ for a few weeks. So there's something goofy going on with some routers. I know it doesn't tell you too much, but at least it it can comfort Craig that he's not the only one experiencing that. And I figured I would share my pain, which is now pain-free, actually, because it's working great, and let you guys know of it. Hope that helps a bit, and hey, keep up the good work. Bye.
He's pain-free. That means he's got a third fewer calories, right?
Yeah.
Friday, if you're getting this on Thursday, then that would be the next day. Friday the 29th is Sysadmin Day.
Yay.
Yay. And in honor of that, I'm on the employee committee, and I kind of stuck a thing in our employee committee mailbox and said, Friday Sysadmin Day. And they say, what should we do? What should we do? How about cookies? And we said, we've got an off-site company meeting from 10 to 1. They said, how about Dilly Bars at 2 o'clock? I said, Dilly Bars are good. I said, yeah.
Or more like, cookies? No. Dilly Bars? No. Beer and strippers? Yeah.
I said, and I want a sticker that lets me park in the handicap spot anywhere. Yeah. Well, in honor of that, I emailed Wes at 3 Dead Trolls in a Baggie. You can find them at deadtrolls.com. They have the Sysadmin song, and I'm not sure I'm gonna be able to play the whole thing because we are a bit crunched for time tonight, so we're gonna play just the beginning. This is a great song, and if you want it, you can go to 3 Dead Trolls deadtrolls.com and get the rest of it, but here's a teaser.
In most every cubicle monkey's life, there is a person or team of people who do the jobs no one else dares to even try to understand. They are our alpha geeks, our nerd buddies, our system administrators. And it is they who truly control your life. It is to them that you must bow down and admit your ignorance every time you do something stupid on your computer. You are right to fear them, for they can destroy every file on your computer just by leaving it alone with you for the long weekend. They are the dark lords of the IT industry, invincible in their knowledge of the intricacies of NT networking protocols and cross-platform file recovery methods. Some of them even have girlfriends. They control the information technology industry, and they still want more. Friday, July 26th has been designated System Administrator Day by the dark cabal that controls everything. You are encouraged to buy them lunches or install home theater systems in their offices. They humiliate you when you forget your password, and now they want an appreciation day. Well, I for one say, let's give it to them. It's not like we have a choice.
There's a guy who works in another room or on another floor. He's the one you call when your document ain't there no more. He's probably a boy, but he might be a girl or something in between. He's the only one in the building who knows what PC load letter means. He's your system administrator. He probably reads comic books, and you tremble in fear when you have to hear one of his what a dummy looks. Got a virus, lost your password, or you just can't print. In an hour he'll show up, and then he'll crouch and squint. Fight to save your files, he might be there all day, but sometimes he just presses caps lock, and then he walks away.
All right, we're going to have to cut it off there because, like I said, we're running short on time. Go to deadtrolls.com and get your copy. I love that song, the PC load
it's
letter.
Pretty good, yeah. That's classic.
Where are we on the outline? I lost my place. Oh, I sent that. I sent a link to that at work. I put a copy on our intranet and sent a copy, and I got a message back from one of our users. Mm-hmm. Okay! I played the song in an IE window, then closed the media player box, but the song didn't stop! What kind of cruel joke is this? Somebody make it stop, please! I can't take it anymore.
That's the catch.
Give him a day, a week, whatever he wants. Just make that awful song stop! I was laughing pretty good.
That's pretty funny.
Radio NHCWX is a part of the Hurricane Project, a nonprofit organization dedicated to keeping the public informed before, during, and after an emergency strikes. Radio NHCWX is funded strictly by donations from the public. If you would like to contribute to the Hurricane Project and help keep Radio NHCWX on the air, please visit radio.nhcwx.com right now and click on the Make a Donation button. Every contribution helps, and thank you for supporting and listening to the largest streaming audio station in the world dedicated to providing you up-to-the-minute storm information. Radio NHCWX.
All right, here we go, and on to our main stories. Get the most out of your Gmail. I use Gmail as my basic, or my primary email account altogether. I've got two email addresses.
What are they, Craig?
One is keyboardmonkey@gmail.com.
And that's probably the only one you want to tell these people about.
Yeah, well, I try to keep my listener email on that one. So, but at any rate, what I was going to tell everybody was there's some really good tips. I got a link to, there's like 100 tips. No, it's like 42. Different tips on using Gmail, how to get the most out of it. One of the tips I want to share with you that I started playing with is keeping a notes folder and some of the tricks you can do with your email address to get things automatically into that folder. One of the things that I started doing was I found out that your email addresses at Google are dynamic. So I can put key.monkey@gmail.com. It'll still get to me, as well as keyboard, you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
Put a dot. if my main email address is craig.step@gmail.com, and if I take the period out, the craig.step or the Craig Step still works. Now, here's the key. You can also put, like, keyboard monkey, put a plus sign,
mm-hmm.
and put notes or some kind of keyword there. So keyboardmonkey+notes@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
It'll still come to me. It ignores everything after that plus, except for the Gmail part. So what does that do? When it comes in, it allows me to write a filter to see if it's supposed to do something special with that email address, such as stick it into it, label it, and archive it, and it'll be in my labels folder. So what that's good for is, say, if we told everybody, all right, we want feedback on this, on the Gmail story, send an email to keyboardmonkey+gmail@gmail.com, and they would, you know, I could easily filter them.
So you don't have to come up with a new mailbox every time somebody wants to send something. Because I've heard a lot of podcasters say, send it to this address at gmail.com. Then mm-hmm. if you've got a promo, send it to this address at gmail.com. And if you've got, you know, if you're listening, send me a mail that says, I listen to this address. Why are they making all these accounts when they're just going to be abandoned in a few weeks anyway? So I like that idea.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing you can use that for. Say you go to a website and you sign up for something. You're thinking, Mike, you're probably going to get some spam from. So you can put, like, Keyboard Monkey plus whatever the site name at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can filter on those, and you can start seeing if you get spam from a particular address.
Mm.
That way you can go, oh, well, that I call shenanigans on that site because they're sending me spam.
I like that. What else we got?
So at any rate, I've got lots of links. That site's got lots of tips. And then if you're a practitioner of David Allen's Getting Things Done, and a Gmail user.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a link that you can, it's like three or four parts, I think, but this will link you to the first part talking about how you can use Gmail as a system for your getting things done, as a, you know, system for moving your information around.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's very comprehensive. And it's not as difficult as you think. And it has to do with filters and email addresses like we talked about.
I'm going to have to look at that because we've spoken about getting things done in the past. And I'm going to take a look. This one I really am this time.
Don't threaten me. Do it.
You're listening to Technorama.
Did you see the shuttle go up?
Oh, yes, I did. Did you see it?
I saw it. I was desperately trying to get online. I went to NASA TV, and I loaded the Real Player 10, and I clicked on it, and the audio lasted for about 30 seconds. Actually, I got audio, and they were just pulling away the little nose cone from the main tank, and then it died.
Oh,
and
man.
I tried to go to audio only. It would never start. I went back to video feed, and the gantry was moving away, and then it died. I could only get about 20 seconds of video, and this thing would kick the bucket. And I'm looking at the clock going, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, yeah. Come on!
You're starting to sweat.
2 minutes! So I said, one more time, and I said, this or nothing! And I came up, they were showing the countdown clock, you know, from the visitor station 5 miles away. 1 minute and 30 seconds, and the feed stayed rock solid. So I got to watch it take off, go up. That was pretty cool because we were there last summer. There was no shuttle launch, obviously, but all kinds of little demos. And since seeing that and being there, watching the video is almost like being there now. You're going, okay, they're going to turn on the water. Sure goes the water. And then they light the igniters. And you can see, because there's a little model inside the Space Center. When you take the tour, there's a little model that they do, and they kind of do it in real time, and the water runs. Yeah. That was so cool. But you and me and Chad Davis all had the same thought, and I think probably half of the rest of the people had the same thought. What was the coolest part, Craig?
It was the view between the tank and the shuttle, the belly of the shuttle, going right straight sandwiched down in the middle and seeing the shuttle split apart and kind of drift off. Well, it looked like it was drifting, but it's going about 16,000 miles an hour. But, yeah, that was the coolest part, seeing it split apart. I mean, that is engineering at its best right there.
Now, you recorded some of the audio. This is obviously compressed because it took them a few minutes to go, you know, ramp up in speed.
Yeah.
But you took those various audio clips. We got to play this. This is cool. Yeah.
7, 6, 5, three engines up and burning. 3, 2, 1, and liftoff of Space Shuttle Discovery, beginning America's new journey to the moon, Mars, and beyond. And the vehicle has cleared the tower.
400 miles per hour. 1 minute since launch. Discovery speed now 900 miles per hour. Altitude 18 miles. Speed now 2,000 miles per hour. Altitude 33 miles. Speed now 3,030 miles per hour. Discovery's altitude now 59 miles. Speed 5,500 miles per hour.
Discovery Houston, negative return.
Just over 4 minutes to cut off the main engines. During that time, Discovery will more than triple its current speed to reach the 17,400 miles per hour required to achieve Earth orbit. Speed 6,700 miles per hour. Speed now 8,000 miles per hour. Discovery speed now 9,200 miles per hour. 13,300 miles per hour. Discovery's three engines are now beginning to throttle back to prevent the spacecraft from experiencing forces in excess of 3 times that of Earth's gravity as it continues to accelerate. Speed now 14,800 miles per hour. Altitude 63 miles. Discovery speed now 16,000 miles per hour.
That was cool.
That was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty cool when after I edited it all down, and you could hear them actually counting out the speed. Of course, that's over about, 10 minutes or so?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's amazing to hear how fast they're going within such a short time.
Oh, they went from, 14,000 miles an hour to 16,000 miles an hour in about 10 seconds. The force was unbelievable. Now, since we're on a space theme, we also have this... sounds that Saturn makes as the...
Yeah.
Is you this know, from the Pioneer? The,
no, the Cassini.
Cassini! Okay, because yeah. I'd heard something like this about 20 years ago when Pioneer flew by.
Yeah, Cassini has been orbiting Saturn and looking at all the moons and whatnot. And they recorded some... It's equipped with some radioscopes that are recording sound of what Saturn makes. So listen real close. It's kind of odd.
They picked up some spooky stuff here.
Yeah, no kidding. Play that.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you. You answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Cellophane flowers of yellow and green towering over your head. Look for the girl with a sun in her eyes. And she's gone!
Wow, okay. You never know what you're going to get on this show.
I know, the RIA is going to come down because of music downloading from the base.
Yeah. You get that from Cassini? Did you write NASA?
Something new for them to worry about. Sue us all over.
Thank you, William Shatner, for making us wretch once again. Tell us about Confabulator.
Yes, this is what we're talking about, but not talking about. Confabulator, over at Ars Technica, they have a great review of the application, but and we'll have a link to that. But what Confabulator is this is an application these two guys wrote for the Mac application or the Mac platform quite a while back. What it does is allows you to put these nice, big, not gaudy, but really clean looking widgets, is what they call them. They're little applets or something. I sit on your desktop and give you information like Wi-Fi status with nice radar look to it, or your CPU usage and stuff like that. Then later on, they came out with a Windows version, and it was rumored because Apple came out with Dashboard, and they were felt a little ditched, because Apple did it and didn't even give me any credit, and it's basically the same thing. But at any rate, now there's a Windows version, and Yahoo, of course, bought them up, and they're giving the application away for free. And there's some really cool widgets out there that will show up on your desktop. I got like a calendar, I got my Wi-Fi indicator, memory, and a couple things like that. What else that really makes it shine is they have a Conspose, and if you're familiar with the OS X, you know what Expose is, where it kind of...
Right, you hit F11 and everything clears off your screen, or yeah, all of things show up in a scaled model and you pick a window. Yep, very cool feature.
Yeah, no, it does add that kind of feature to Windows. You click a hotkey, a translucent wallpaper covers your desktop, and it shows you widgets, your widgets unabashed, so you can easily see them. One tip I want to add, if you do want to add or try this application out, one, each widget has a status. Like you can set it to be always in the background, always on top, or only on the Conspose. So the problem is if you put a bunch of widgets on your desktop, you got Windows on there, it looks very cluttered. It doesn't help at all. But if you add most of your widgets to the Conspose, when you go into that mode, you don't see your windows, but you see your app, your widgets.
Okay.
And then, it's easy to separate those from your windows.
Sure. It's so one or the other, but not both.
Yeah. So you can make some widgets appear only on the Conspose, or some on, just on the desktop and floating. And it's really easy to deal with. And it's very, it doesn't take up a lot of CPU usage to run. The widgets are basically made up of JavaScript and XML. So it's very easy to write. And right on the Conspose web or the Confabulator website, they have a workshop, has PDFs with here's a guide how to write the thing, here's how to do this. A very good resource.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I definitely give it a shot.
Technology is a wonderful thing when it works, and when it doesn't, you get Chuck Chat.
All right, I have a story that came up at work today that our receptionist called me, and I just had to crack up.
Wait a minute. First off, what the Chuck?
Yeah, what the Chuck? This is my What the Chuck segment. We need somebody to send us in one of those. What the Chuck? Something like that.
Richard vibes.
More reverb, yeah. What the Chuck? I don't think my reverb's on, but... Oh, that's because my effects are way down.
Just go ahead and reach.
Okay, yeah, stop fooling with the mixer. We have outsourced our printer service to another company, and we were having problems with the printer. So the receptionist called me up and said, what should I do? She's new. She's only been here a few weeks, hasn't had any problems like this. So I said, well, you have to call, you know, our outsourced company. She called them up. They entered a ticket, like a good soldier should, and a day goes by, and she said, you know, this is kind of a critical printer. What's the status of my issue? They said, we're ordering parts. She said, really? How do you order parts if nobody's been here to look at the printer and know what's wrong with it? What the Chuck? They just order random stuff? Well, it might be the fuser. It might be pickup board.
We'll start there. What
the, just, you gotta
Hey, are they ordering parts for the whole shop or just for her?
I don't know. Maybe they're just ordering a whole new printer and they'll just, if we're lucky.
This is Garrick Van Buren with the First Crack Podcast. You're listening to Chuck Tomasi.
Geek Thoughts. Mouse balls.
Mouse balls. Well, you know, I thought this was going to be a really long show, but we were kind of brief on some of those subjects. So, how's the weather in North Carolina?
Hot. How hot? Damn hot. Real hot.
It's cooled way down up here. We had a big storm move through, and the high today was 75. It was very pleasant.
Let's see. My car said it was 105, so I can figure it's 103. Ugh. It was pretty hot.
All right. Let's take us out of here. Everybody gets a treat. They get a short Technorama for once.
For once?
Well, I'll be on back when I was doing it by myself.
Hi, it's Chuck. I don't have much to talk about. I'm going to talk to RSS. And...
Yeah, about a dollar.
How can they get a hold of us?
I'm not wearing any underwear.
Shut up.
All right, everybody, listen. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. Or you can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. Or you can email me at keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. And don't forget the website at chuckchat.com with links to the Cafe Press site for Chuck Chat Plane and Technorama.
And the forums.
And the forums. And me and Chuck. And,
the listener,
lots
Matt.
Of web and HTML and GIFs and JPEGs. All kinds of stuff there.
Oh, my goodness. Do we have fun doing this?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any parting words of wisdom?
Yep. That hot lick. Oh, yeah.
Do that again. You blurted out there for a sec.
Huh?
You dropped out. Do that again.
Oh, I said, watch that hot laptop on your lap.
Oh, thank you. Don't forget you want a view source, too. View source. View source. Yeah.
101?